mentality. Read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, and then pass it on. Amen. The title of this sermon today is Huldah, the Prophetess Who Pressed Suits. I'm seeing frowns and uncertain looks on faces already just by that title. Well, years ago, a manufacturer of men's suits advertised with this slogan: "You can always tell something about a man by the way he's dressed." Well, in our culture, even today, we have a real trendy saying, "You are what you eat." That tends to be pretty true for most of us. But there's also another saying, and it's rather superficial: "You are what you wear." It is superficial because that very saying proposes that a person's ability to purchase fine clothing parallels their character or parallels their values. And of course, it doesn't do that at all. We know that. But one of the best dressed presidents ever in the modern era of the United States, many people still claim that President John F. Kennedy was one of the best dressed presidents of the modern era. But this man, one of the best dressed, was also one of the most immoral men ever to be in the White House. His memoirs have been written by Secret Service agents that tell of his incredible sexual addictions. So to say you are what you wear, that's totally false, isn't it? Except, you knew there was a catch there, didn't you? To say you are what you wear is totally false, except when you're speaking spiritually. So before we read our scripture text in 2 Kings, let me just give you the setting of what was happening at this season and time in Israel. It's the time of the divided kingdoms, Israel of the north and Judah in the south. And Josiah is king of Judah. He's living in Jerusalem. And he became king of Judah when he was 8 years old. And when he was 24 years old, Hilkiah, the high priest, found the book of the law. Maybe it was in an old closet or an old storage bin, we're not sure. But he found the book of the law, the Bible says. It was probably all of Deuteronomy. And he read it. He read it, and the Bible says the king Josiah tore his clothes. Now, that expression, you see that a lot in the Bible, tore his clothes. It was an expression of anger, disappointment, or grieving, or sadness. When Sherry was a little girl, her mom made matching dresses for her and her little sister for Easter Sunday. The dress itched so bad that Sherry figured if she tore that dress real good, she'd never have to wear it again. So even she was providing a biblical example when she tore her clothes as a little child. Well, he tore his clothes, the Bible says, because he understood that the nation had been so unfaithful to God. And so King Josiah, he commanded that Hilkiah, the high priest, go and inquire of the Lord for me. That takes us to our scripture text, 2 Kings 22, verse 14. So Hilkiah the priest, Achim, Achbar, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shulam, the son of Tikvah, the son of Horus, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Now the Bible goes on to tell us that Huldah the prophetess, she tells them that one of God's coming judgments is coming upon them because they had forsaken the true God and they had been worshiping idols. And she told them that God, however, saw favor in King Josiah's heart and that he was a tender-hearted and humble man and that he had done the right thing. Because of that heart being a good heart, she went on to say that he would be gathered to his fathers, that he would die in peace, that he would not see all of the calamity of the judgment of God on his people. Well, King Josiah, he rid the kingdom of all the false prophets and all the false idol worshipers. And he brought back the keeping of the Passover and made it something that they looked forward to every year. And at age 39, King Josiah died a brave and honorable death in battle against Judah's enemies after being king for 31 years. Can you imagine becoming king when you're 8 years old? It's incredible. But our focus today, our focus is on an obscure prophetess named Huldah. You've all heard of Huldah, haven't you? No. Many of us are saying, no, I'm not that familiar with Huldah. She was a prophetess, but the Bible says that she was also bivocational. She worked as the keeper of the king's wardrobe, what we just read in our scripture text. Her job was the constant care of the king's clothes. She pressed his suits, making sure they were always ready for him to wear. Every Christian, every one of us here today that knows Christ as Savior, we have been presented with a wardrobe. And it's a wardrobe that demands constant attention and constant care. And really, when you look at Huldah, she should be an example to every follower of Jesus, because spiritually speaking, you are what you wear. And some of you are looking at me saying, Pastor, I don't know where you're going with that. Stay with me this morning. Look at this first point this morning as we make this point. You are what you wear. The garment of salvation. And I'm already seeing, oh, that's what he meant. The garment of salvation. Look at that scripture, Isaiah 61 and 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. You look back in the Bible, and after their disobedience, Adam and Eve made garments to clothe themselves. Yet when God, when his voice was heard in the sound of the garden, they fled away. They fled away because they realized that in spite of their efforts to cover themselves up, that before God they were still naked. In fact, the Gospel of Luke records that there was a demon-possessed man in Gadara, and he wore no clothes. See, in his demon-possessed mind, he thought he was just fine. But the Bible says when Jesus expelled the demon, then the man realized his need, and he gladly accepted the garment from Jesus, the garment that Jesus offered him. He said, yes, I'll receive that. The Bible says that he was not only wearing clothes as he sat at the feet of Jesus. The Bible also declares that he was clothed in his right mind, according to the Word of God. So the gospel truth is this. We know this. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And we are naked, so to speak, before the Lord in a spiritual sense. We're naked until we are clothed with the garments of salvation. Aren't you glad you know Jesus as your Savior? Aren't you glad you're clothed? Let me ask you, are you wearing the garments of salvation today? Are you wearing that garment that comes when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior? I pray that you are. Well, it takes us to the second point this morning, and that's the garment of holiness. Exodus 31 verse 10, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons to minister as priest. You see, divine law required that when a priest entered behind the veil, what is known as the Holy of Holies, that in order to intercede on behalf of Israel, that priest should be clothed in consecrated holy vestments. We look next at a Christian's wardrobe, and we look at the garment of holiness. Now, when you start speaking of holiness, it seems like in our modern era, there's almost like holiness. That was what our grandparents talked about. That's really not for the church today. Why are you talking about holiness? Why would you talk about something so old-fashioned sounding as holiness? There is nothing as disappointing as a believer that claims Christ as Lord and Savior, but fails to live and to practice what he says is in his heart. If Jesus is indeed the object of my love and my admiration, it obviously follows by example that his holiness should be our holiness. That should be our desire of our hearts. In fact, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. When it says, for it is written, He was making reference to Leviticus 11 and 44. But this ideal of holiness, well, that just sounds so antiquated and so out of modern today. But I'm going to tell you, the Word of God in His way for us is unchanging. And the Word is very clear that He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. This garment of holiness isn't just being morally good. It isn't just checking all the boxes and being self-righteous. No, the garment of holiness at its core is recognizing that I am being set apart for God's purpose. That's what sanctification is, isn't it? To be set aside holy for the purpose of God. That holiness is being unique. Recognizing that our temples are the body of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in us makes us unique and makes you and I different. Holiness means belonging to God. It means living with God, keeping His covenants. So our wardrobe includes the garment of salvation. It also includes that beautiful garment of holiness. Well, it should anyway. It takes us to the third point. That's the garment of humility. In 1 Peter 5 and 5, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, there are folks that will attempt to advertise their holiness. At the same time, they'll strut around and act like a peacock. That's not what God had planned for us. God reminds all of us that we should all proclaim, I am the chief of sinners. Because every one of us has sinned and fallen short of what God has asked us to do. Look at this next word on the PowerPoint with me. Humility is the shy evidence of inward godliness. Let that just sink in for a minute. Humility is the shy evidence of inward godliness. Spiritual pride is the evidence that one's head has gotten bigger than their heart. Spiritual pride is seen when someone's holiness has become a sense or a reflection of their own sense of self-importance and their own self-esteem. Humility, we're talking about humility for a moment. Humility is not demanding our way. Humility is not thinking we're always right. Humility is not living with a sense of self-importance. Humility is not taking ourselves too seriously, which is a pet peeve of your pastor's. The garment of humility is all about submission. The garment of humility is about preferring others, is what the Word of God tells us. It's recognizing that I am nothing without Jesus Christ. I'm nothing. It's the shy evidence of inward godliness. It takes us to the fourth garment, the final garment, number four. That's the garment of praise. We're familiar with this scripture in Isaiah 61, to put on the garment of praise. For the spirit of heaviness, we even sing a song with those words in it. Jesus quoted this scripture in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 16 through 22, declaring, as he got up and read this scripture in the temple, he read Isaiah 61, and then he declared, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. He said that to all of those around him in the temple that day. What was he saying? He was saying that he came to fulfill the promise of God, that he was the Messiah, the promised one, and that his coming would bring joy, and his joy would lead to our having a heart of praise, or it should anyway. I'm going to remind you and myself that you can't wear this garment of praise, you can't wear the garment of praise and have a bitterness in your heart and mind. You just can't do it. You can't wear the garment of praise and be unforgiving toward someone or toward others. You can't wear the garment of praise and have a critical, fault-finding spirit. You can't wear the garment of praise and be depressed are discouraged or defeated or full of anxiety or full of worry or full of fear. They cannot coexist, because when you're wearing the garment of praise, when you're praising our Savior, you're constantly being reminded of the awe and the wonder of who God is, of His heaven and His promises to us, and that those will become our reality someday, if we know Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Oh, the garment of praise. It lifts our hearts. It lifts whatever situation we're in. It makes us put our eyes on our Savior, on our Redeemer, on Jesus. And that's a great thing when we do that. So in conclusion today, Huldah, she dutifully took great care of the king's wardrobe. And her activities remind us that spiritually speaking, we are also, you and I, are also keepers of the king's wardrobe. We are. We're the keeper of the king's wardrobe, because you can always tell something about a man or a woman by the way they are dressed, spiritually speaking. Yes, spiritually speaking, you indeed are what you wear. Let me ask you, are you wearing the king's garments today? Are you clothed in his garments of salvation? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you clothed in that garment of holiness, the reminder that Christ says, "Be holy, for I am holy"? Are you clothed in that garment of humility, of submission, of preferring others? Are you clothed in that garment of praise? Oh, those are the king's wardrobes for you and for me as we walk each day in this life of knowing Christ and serving Him. Salvation, holiness, humility, and praises. What incredible garments God gives us. They're amazing. They're wonderful. If we would just remember every day, wake up, God, I'm putting on your clothes. I'm getting dressed. I'm getting dressed before you, Father, with this wonderful blessing of my salvation. I'm being reminded that Christ died for my sins, that you so loved me that you sent his Son for me. I'm being reminded that there is a holiness in Christ that is imparted unto me. Let me walk in righteousness and holiness, following wholly after my Lord and Savior. Let me have a heart that is broken and tender. God, let me have a passion and a burden for the lost. Let me prefer others today. And every person I meet, let me see that opportunity is my opportunity to tell them about Jesus and how much He loves them. And may my heart be filled as I put on that garment. Let it be filled with praise. That if whatever the day brings, whatever my circumstances are, I will never stop praising you. What a great wardrobe. I could get a much smaller closet for Sherry if that's all we had. I pray that that's your wardrobe today. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the Word of God and its beautiful reminder of your will for us, your plans for us, your desires for us, and the garments that you give us each day to walk before you. Father, I just pray that by your Holy Spirit, these words will sink deep into our minds and our hearts. We'll be reminded of that we are indeed keepers of the king's wardrobe. God, help us keep it beautifully and perfect as we walk with our Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask you for your hand in each life in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.